Give him a praise offering today. Wonder. You've got to wonder if we believe the song that says Jesus changes everything. You just got to wonder. When you see the events of the world and everything that we're watching, not only in our country but abroad, and the Olympics and all the things that we're seeing, and all the complaining that we always do about what we see, like we don't have the power to change it. I don't understand. The Bible says, if the steps of a righteous man, it's ordered of the Lord, Jesus changes everything. You hold the power to get on your knees and change it all. Do we do that? We don't need to go to Facebook and complain. We don't need to do all the things that we do. All we need to do is just believe that Jesus changes everything. Do we? Church, do we? Jesus changes everything. Let's go to the throne of the living God this morning and just believe that Jesus changes it all. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I believe, and Cross Point Church believes, that you change everything. I believe, Lord God, when the scripture says the steps, the pathway of the righteous man or woman are ordered, that means established by you. That means to guide us, direct us. And Lord God, I believe that today. I believe, Lord God, that you change everything. I believe that the pathway that you set for me and everybody in this worship center and watching online, that you established it. I also realize, Lord God, that there are distractions, and my attention is pulled away from that path that you established. Lord God, I pray right now that today is the day, on this day, that you reestablish my steps, that you reestablish my direct pathway, that the order that came from heaven, because Jesus changes everything in my life, Lord God, I pray that you give me one step at a time on the pathway that you have established and you have guided me and directed me on, that today, Lord God, I leave the worship center after service. I turn off my device and I realize more than ever that you change everything. That nothing caught you by surprise. That you are ordering steps every single day. And some of those things, Lord God, that we do not see, Lord God, don't let us be hesitant or let us be dismayed because we think something should be happening when it's not. Lord God, you changed it all. You established it all. Lord God, let me come into submission with the steps that you have ordered. And let that be today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, all Cross Point Church said, amen. Amen. Grab somebody next to you and say, welcome to Cross Point Church. I'm going to have church today. Amen. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Somebody give me a shout. Let me know you're out there. Wow, that's the church that I know and love. Lots of energy. You know, we're in the heart of vacation season, so I want you to do me a favor. I should have did that when we were praying. Don't forget to pray for those that are traveling. Many of you have already been on vacation, like Nicole and I, but many are still traveling. They are gone. They are traveling. They're out on vacations, Lord. People just pray to the Lord Jesus Christ that we have them covered. We do that. They are our church family. We want to make sure that they are protected as they travel down the path of their vacation. I don't know why they would leave Canton, Ohio, but anyways, just make sure. We left Canton, Ohio for a couple of weeks, didn't we, dear? And so you just need to disconnect, so continue to keep them in prayer. Welcome to the house here at Cross Point Church. Thank you so much for coming in. You could have been anywhere else, but you selected to come in here today. Thank you so much. If you're watching online, my goodness, there are so many people. Pastor Mike makes comment about that on a Sunday morning, but boy, there are so many people. Thank you so much. If you're watching today, thank you so much. We know exactly who you are. Don't be afraid, like he said, to put the city, state, or country that you are watching from. I know many people don't put anything in there at all, but they watch because we can see their IP addresses throughout the week. We can see that they've been joining us. I had a person tell me this past week, I watch you all the time. I was at a family function yesterday. My uncle had his 80th birthday party. My aunt says, I watch you every single week. Now, I don't even know she's there, but she told me she's watching. So, Aunt Betty, thank you so much for joining us this morning at Cross Point Church. If you're listening to the broadcast here on the podcast that we put out this coming week, hey, thank you so much for that. Lots of people do that as well. We appreciate that. I got word this past week that we launched a TikTok page. I can't believe it. I even said that from the platform of a church. But, you know, I I'm probably not a real big fan of that. But, you know, we launched it. Why? Because it's all about reaching people, right? We're going to get the message out to reach people. And if they can put all this other crazy things out on TikTok, the Church of Jesus Christ at Cross Point Church, we can put something out there too and broadcast our services or what we're doing and putting out some messages. So church, be blessed that we're doing everything we can to send the gospel of Jesus Christ out in the world. Wow, that's a mouthful, right? What path are you on today, church? We started a quick series of 2 weeks last week called The Path. And I taught you that you're all on a path, and the scripture teaches us that there is so many pathways, right? So many scriptures about the path and the pathways that we take, and, you know, and we're all on a journey, we're all on a path, not just one, but many paths, pathways, plural, right? And we're going down these paths, and sometimes we're feeling like we're on the right road, and other times we're feeling that we're not on the right road. And I taught you some things last week, or to teach you some things this week. Let's do a quick review. Last week we talked about good intentions but distracted decisions. We talked about the word distracted on our pathway, right? You know, path means direction. I'm going down some type of direction. Everybody's on a direction. School or careers or jobs or some, you're on some type of direction. If you're in ministry, you're on a ministry direction, right? You're on a path, the Bible says. You're on a pathway. All of us are doing that. The question that we talked about, why do so many people start out with a clear picture of where they want to be in life spiritually, relationally, financially, or professionally? You put the word in there. But yet years later, they find themselves far from their desired destination. And I taught you the biblical principle last week called the principle of the path. And the reason that they get diverted, the reason that you and I get off the beaten path is because direction, not intention, determines destination. Right? Direction, not intention, determines your destination. We all have good intentions, we talked about last week, right? We all have good intentions. We want to do certain things. We have the intention or the goal, or the objective to get there, right? I have good intentions to do X, Y, Z, whatever. You have good intentions to do A, B, C, whatever it is, but we have these good intentions to get there. For some reason, a lot of times, we don't end up there. And we talked about what distracts us from getting there. Lots of things distracts us. And that word intention, we start with this intention, but we don't end up with that destination. We talked about it in Isaiah 43. We talked about how God created us for his glory. That was his intent. One of the intentions of us being created is for heaven's glory, right? We used the story in Jeremiah 29 again, and he gave you a little bit different how, you know, the God's people were taken captive for 70 years. The Babylonians came in, and we talked about that. And we led with the scripture of God's intent. The Cole's favorite scripture, many of yours, of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That's the intent coming up, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you a hope in a future. That intent was delayed for 70 years by the actions, the distractions, idols and whatnot, not serving heaven, not serving God. By those distracted decisions, God delayed his intention because of their behavior. It wasn't God's behavior, right? It was their behavior, and today it's our behavior that we don't get the intended pathway that God wants us to have, the destination that he's blessing us with. We get distracted, and we go off on a different direction, right? That's what happens. What happens then, if you are distracted by what's on your path, you'll end up being distracted from where the path is taking you. You're going to get distracted on that path. You're going to get distracted from the destination. Your destination changes, and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize that you didn't end up, or you're not ending up where you're supposed to end up, where you intended to end up, where God wants you to end up, because you get distracted, and we run down the distraction side as opposed to the actual path God has us on. And we don't even know that's going on. You could probably pick times in your life, I can, where I got distracted and I end up not arriving where God wanted me to be. And then you got to work on getting back on the beaten path, right? You got to get back on that pathway that God wants you to be on, right? Today we're going to talk about direct destination. Wouldn't it be great if we never got distracted and God laid something out for us and you always showed up there? Whether it was a week later, a month, year, two, 10, a decade or more, you always ended up and there was never a distraction. You just got there. Can you imagine what our lives would be like if we just arrived at the intended destination that God wanted us to be at in the first place? And we taught last week that these distractions show up. And the more you're going down the pathway that God has you on, the more distractions that show up. And you're going to learn something else today about that pathway and what distracts us and what happens with that. But the thought's like this. We win or we lose in life by the path that we choose. We win or lose by the path we choose. We sell ourselves on what we want rather than what we ought to do. You know, you've got to see that we're going down a path, or God places a path, and you say to yourself, I'm not so sure I like that path. Now, when I grew up, I told you this before, I was a Flintstone cartoon guy, right? And I remember Fred. How many remember the Flintstones, right? Come on, the Flintstones, the greatest cartoon that was ever invented, right? Next to Bugs Bunny. But and Fred would have the devil sitting on his one shoulder, and he had the angel sitting on the other shoulder. Remember? And they would talk back and forth. How cool was that? I'm just a little kid watching this, you know. And the devil wants this thing, and the angel wants this. And who's right in the middle? Fred, right? Looking this way, looking that way, and seeing. That's exactly what happens in our lives today when we're talking about pathways. But a lot of times, church, it's us talking to God. And God says, I want you going down this pathway. And you're saying, I'm not so sure I want to go down that. And then the kind of conflict goes on, right? I kind of want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to go here. It's easy to convince ourselves what we want to do. It's really easy to do that. You can have the greatest conversations with yourself, because you're always going to agree. You're always going to agree with yourself, right? You tend to. You can have these conversations with yourself. I'm going to agree. We believe ourselves. We think we never tell a lie, and we're going to always be truthful with ourselves, right? But we're not always honest with ourselves, are we? We could convince ourselves to do almost anything. We can deceive ourselves into doing almost anything we want to do. Proverbs, we talked about the capstone scripture that we used last week. It goes like this. Let's read it together. It should be on the screen behind me. It goes Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Remember, we've used this before. That's the all-in part. We talked about this last week. When you trust with the Lord with all your heart, that's the all-in. No matter what it looks like, I'm all in, right? I'm trusting God. How many times have we heard that? I just trust God. And it says, don't lean on your own understanding. Why? You can't be trusted. God says, you got to lean on me. Don't lean on you. Even though the path that you're on looks different or isn't the path you, just trust, right? Just trust. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then he shall direct your path. What does that mean? That means he will show you the unmistakably clear path that you should be on if you follow that instruction. No doubt in your mind, you're going to be on the correct path in life. and distractions will show up, right? Divine direction begins with an unconditional submission in your life. In all your ways, we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Divine direction begins with this unconditional submission. When it says lean not on your own understanding, we're leaning on Christ. Boy, there's a conflict there between what Jesus wants for our lives and what we want. Now, I know it's okay to say I want something in life, right? It's all right. It's all right to say that I want to go a certain direction. I want to do something. God can ordain that. He can, what, bless that? How many have prayed for something and say, God's blessing this in my life, and that's okay. Church, it's okay to have things, that wants and desires, the things you want to, as long as they're not contrary to the will of God, right? As long as they're not contrary. And I'm going to teach you an additional word today, and maybe before I get to the word, you'll figure it out, but let's start with the story of Solomon, King Solomon, the third king of Israel, and the last, really, right? David, Saul, and then there's Solomon. And Solomon is a really interesting king. So he goes to God, as the story goes. Let me paraphrase. It says, God, I want your blessing. I can't rule without you. And God allowed him to ask for anything, right? So he's asking because God's saying, ask me for anything. How many would love to say, hear that from heaven today? Right? Ask me for anything. I am going to grant it. What would you ask for? Ask for anything, and I'm going to give it to you. That was the conversation. He says, well, I need some wisdom. I can't do this justly, the Bible says, without your wisdom to guide me through the process. I need help. There's some humbleness, right? There's some humbleness there. Can't be the king you want me to be unless you bless me with some wisdom to do it. God comes in and says, okay, I'm going to give you that. Not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you wealth. Now that's a good deal, folks. Come on, right? It's not a sin to have wealth. It's not a sin. God blessed him with wealth. He gave him wisdom, blessed him with wealth. Now, if you're King Solomon, you got to be feeling pretty good. Now I'm a really smart guy because God's going to bless me with this wisdom. And now I have a kingdom that's very wealthy. And I'm going to rule it. How many would like that, right? It's a pretty good deal. What a path to be on, right? What a path to be on. But God gave him something else. He gave him wisdom, he gave him wealth, and he gave him peace on all sides of the kingdom. You're going to be okay because I'm going to surround you with peace. Wow, now there's a life. Wisdom to rule. Very wealthy. Peace on all sides. What possibly could you want on your path outside of that? Doesn't that sound like a pretty good deal? But just like typical humans that we are, we kind of say this phrase, I just want something a little bit more. I want something a little extra. And this guy says, I want something a little extra. And let's dive into 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 through 4, and watch the attention of King Solomon. King Solomon, however, I've got wisdom, I've got wealth, I've got peace, and he says, but however, I also love many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughters, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, you name it, these foreign women, I got something for them. I know I got wisdom from heaven, I've got peace on all sides. I got a lot of wealth. But here's what he says. I need some more ladies. It's not what happens. That's true, right? It's not enough. That's what he says. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you can't intermarry with them. Boy, have we ever heard this story before? Don't eat from the fruit of that tree, but you can have everything else. You can't marry these ladies. They will surely turn your hearts after God, away from your God, right? Nevertheless, oh my goodness, church, I'm going down this path of wisdom. I'm going down the path of wealth. I'm going down the path of peace on all sides. And then I say, but I want a little more. I want the women over in these countries more than I want the women here. And God says, I'm not allowed to have those women over there. My attention is just completely off kilter. And God says, don't do it. And their argument starts. And what does it? Nevertheless. How many times have we done that? Nevertheless, God. Like, nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of the royal birth and 300 girlfriends. Now, I'm not going to single out the guy that just smiled, right? Okay? That's a few ladies. I hear you laughing, Noah. That is a few ladies. And every guy in the sanctuary and online saying, I can't believe that path, right? And nevertheless, he wanted more, right? He had 700 wives of royal birth, 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, that means it took some time, and over time, he went from the path that he was on to the path that he ended up on. His wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. He started off on the right path, but church, his attention changed. His attention changed. God blessed him with this pathway of wisdom and wealth and peace. And he says this phrase, nevertheless, I went to the other direction. I wanted to do something. I wanted more. I wanted more. Right? One never accomplishes the will of God by breaking the laws of God. Here he is, a mighty king, the third king of the United Kingdom of Israel, and he has the blessing from heaven with wisdom, wealth, and peace. And what does he do? He wants the ladies in this other lands. That's the pathway he selected for himself. Solomon did not submit to the path of heaven. Solomon did not submit to God's path. See, the thought's like this. Submission, not talent, information, or insight is the key to good decision making. It's not the talent of the pastor. It's not the talent of the worship team. It's not the talent of the leadership. It's not the information that we know. It's not the insight. It's just the fact that we're going to submit to the pathway that the Lord Jesus Christ places us on, even though we don't get it. Maybe we don't understand it. We don't see it. But we're going to have to walk down that path and just submit to it regardless of whether we think we can do it or not. Now that's acknowledging him in all you do, right? That's the acknowledgement. We're going to walk down that path, and King Solomon wanted a different path. The question I have is, why don't we always follow the intended path to our destination? And the word that we'll introduce, which you probably figured out by now by the story of Solomon, the word, why don't we do that? Well, last week it was distraction. This week it's attention. Your attention. My attention, your attention. Where is our attention on the path that we're on? See, distraction means something comes into the pathway and distracts us. Attention means you go off the pathway and look at something else. Solomon went off the path that God placed him on and started to look at something else, the ladies in foreign lands. So the distraction shows up in your path, but the intention is you being attentive to something else off your path. And that can get you in a whole lot of trouble. Right? Your attention can get you in a lot of trouble. Solomon's attention was on other things. If you've made progress, but you're not quite where you want to be, perhaps you need to ask yourself where you're placing the most attention in your life. Because where you place your attention is where you will end up in your destination. You'll end up going there. Why? Because your attention is there. Right? Our attention draws us to a destination. And we don't even realize what's going on. Solomon's attention, after having all that we just mentioned, his attention left that path and started looking at ladies in foreign lands. And he said, hey, that's not too bad. Nevertheless, even though God told me not to do it, nevertheless, I'm going to do it. Right? Nevertheless. Proverbs 1:33 says, first pay attention to me, heaven, right? The Proverbs. And then relax. Now you can take it easy. You're in good hands. I don't know if I could have selected a better scripture for this morning, church, because I think it just sums up everything that we're going to be talking about this morning. First, pay attention. What's that mean? Pay attention to the pathway that you're on. And then relax. How many could stand some relaxation, right? Some of us have been on that vacation, get some relaxation going on. First, pay attention and then relax. Why? God's got this. And you're paying attention to the right things. Now you can take it easy. Man, we're all saying, man, we're doing something wrong, right? Relax, take it easy. I'm on the intended destination. I'm heading the right direction. And I'm in good hands. Right? Let's jump to Jeremiah 16, 10 through 13. Goes like this. Take a look in the mirror. I'll give you the backstory here in a second. Each of you doing whatever you want. For generation after generation, the people of God just continue to do the wrong things. And of course, Jeremiah's like beside himself. Do you see what you're doing? The Bible says that your forefathers did it, worshiped idols. The next generation did it. You're getting down to our generation. We're still doing it. It's no better. The pathway is generational pathway. Nothing's changing. Are you looking in the mirror? Do you see anything? Do you realize what's going on? Somebody realize. Take a look in the mirror. Do whatever you want. Whenever you want to do it. Refusing to pay attention to heaven. That means refusing to pay attention to God. And for this, I'm just going to get rid of you. Throwing you out of the cold into the far and strange country, you can worship your precious gods, idols, there to your heart's content. Rest assured, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Generation after generation after generation of the path that you've been walking, you're not listening, you're not getting it. What do I got to do? Go do it. If that's the path you want and that's where your attention's going to remain, and I have sent a lifeline so many times, but your attention never comes back to me, you might as well just go. Go do what you want to do. Because your attention isn't listening to me anyways. The present generation of those sins of worshiping idols, he had just had enough. God's people, after generations, no longer paid attention to him. Where your attention is where your destination ends up. Right? Distraction shows up in your path. That's something showing up. Your attention is when you take your eyes off the path and you look at something else. And Jeremiah is just kind of beside himself. Right? The thoughts like this, what captures our attention influences our direction. Now we all start thinking in our lives, you know, I remember when I did this. I remember when I went down the wrong path because my attention got diverted. Sad part is, church, sometimes we don't come back to the path. And the scriptures here is talking about, if you do the study, it's talking about generation after generation of just idol worship. It's not coming back, right? Jeremiah 16 is talking about those idols caught their attention. The principle of the path really has three words in it. If I wanted to boil it down today, the principle of the path is attention, direction, destination. Attention, direction, destination. You know, we just got to start thinking, where do we place our attention? That's where we'll end up being in our destination. It goes like this. If attention influences direction and we can choose what or who gets our attention, and you do, that's the attention, right? You decide. Whatever we pay attention to will have significant leverage in our future direction. Solomon paid more attention to the women than the path God laid out for him. And keep in mind, the path God laid out to him initially was a path of wisdom, a path of wealth, and a path of peace. He's the one that took his attention off that path and started looking elsewhere. I mean, that kind of defines what we end up doing in our own personal life. Right? We end up looking elsewhere. And you got to ask yourself, church, why do we do that? Why do we look elsewhere when things are... Now, things had to have been going pretty darn good for him at the beginning, and we know Scripture teaches us that it was. It's going really well. Anointed this king, God comes in and says, hey, tell me what you want. What do you need? What do you want? I'm going to give it whatever you want. I'm going to bless you with it. Then some. And then some more. All he had to do is settle in, relax, and rule on the path God placed for him. But his attention got diverted. You know the enemy thinks you're on the right path when a bunch of distractions show up on your path and there's a constant bombardment of taking your attention off the path that you're on. You know you're doing something right. Because the enemy is going to come in and do that. Exactly what I just said. So the thought's like this. It says pay attention, careful attention to what you are paying attention to. Evaluate the things that are competing for your attention. Many things can show up in your life that starts competing for your attention. And you've got to ask yourself, why is all these things coming up? Why am I being diverted to other things? Church, it happens to pastors all the time. Right, Pastor Mike, Christine, it does. It happens to us. We have this saying, you know something's going on, right? You know you're doing when all these other things start to happen. My wife and I talk about this like all the time. You know you're on the right path because the distractions show up and then you're diverted by your attention span, starts to look at other things. You know you're doing it right. You just got to stay on the beaten path and continue down the road. Right? Why didn't Solomon look at other things other than ladies? He had money, so he's not going to look for money. He had peace, or can't look for peace. He had wisdom, smart guy. And you know, what's amazing is he had a lot of ladies already. God allowed in the Old Testament, as you most likely know, to populate the earth. He allowed this. Now that ended in the Gospels, of course. But he permitted it for a season, a path. But nevertheless, the scripture says, he wanted it a different way, right? Hebrews 2:1 says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we don't drift away. Now, I could tell you almost with 100% surety when you leave here today or turn off your device, you're going to get bombarded with attention-seeking things in your life. Because the enemy doesn't want you to hear a message about this. They want to hear you. The enemy doesn't want to hear you, see you listening to a distraction on your pathway message, and certainly doesn't want to hear that your attention's changing on the path that God has you on. Some of you are venturing down the new path of ministries outside the church. God's blessed you with a pathway of direction. Some of you have talked to me about that. I'm meeting with somebody this week to talk about it further. That God's blessing you with a new path. I can just guarantee you, distractions and attention is going to show up. It's too difficult to do. It's too far to travel. There's something easier and simpler to do right down the street or whatever the distraction, and your attention is going to get, starts to go off that pathway that God has given you, and your attention is going to look, well, this it might be a little easier over here, or it could be whatever it may be. And you know that's going to happen, right? The question I asked this morning is, who or what has your attention? Who or what has our attention? Your attention is a direct path to your destination. So who has it? Who has your attention this morning? What a question. In church on a Sunday morning, who's got my attention? Who has your attention? Where is your attention? Because that's going to be your final destination. If your attention on the path that you're on is on godly things and you want to go down this pathway, your attention should be on the final destination that God's blessed you with, saying, this is where you're headed. Oh, Pastor, sometimes I don't know the final destination. The steps of a righteous man are ordered. That means established, the scripture means, right? So you're on the right path one step at a time. The word steps in the Hebrew, it's talking path. It's talking path. Walking the path that God has established for you. The actual traveling of the path, right? So I'm going to give you three important things this morning, church, that we need to pay attention to. To stay on the right path, we have these three core things that I believe that we really need to pay attention to. And I think we have to do what God blessed Solomon with. We have to pay attention to wisdom. You got to pay attention to wisdom, right? 1 Kings 11, Solomon rejects God's wisdom. His wisdom was, don't go there. Don't intermarry over there. Don't go to these foreign lands for wives. Don't do it. He rejects that. He decides, nevertheless, I'm going to do it. The scripture says you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your heart away from God. It will turn you away. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to the love for them. Nevertheless, Jeremiah 7:24 says, but they didn't listen or obey. They stubbornly refused to pay attention and to be taught. Generation after generation of idol worship, they were stubborn. They just didn't want to pay attention. They didn't want to be taught. They didn't want to have a new direction. They didn't want to see what God was speaking to them. Why? Because they had already decided where they wanted to put their attention to. They had already made the decision, and God himself was not going to change Solomon's mind or our minds, right? The wisdom from heaven, we don't pay attention to the wisdom that God has placed in our lives. I remember growing up, my mom would say a lot. She would say, I'm going to go ask the pastor. Now, I'll admit that, you know, I had this attitude when I was growing up that, you know, although I accepted Jesus as a young age, of course, I didn't know a whole lot about the things of God. I was starting my journey at 9 years old, and I was just a kid. But I remember my mom constantly talking about, I'm going to go ask the pastor. And I learned as I grew and got older and got a little bit wiser, it wasn't that he had all this talent. It wasn't like he had all these giftings, that he had all this education or all these things that would make you feel like he would have all this. But he had something that she was seeking, and I didn't understand at the time. She was seeking the very wisdom from heaven in his life. And she would come back and say, boy, he really blessed me. He really helped me. And as I grew and got to be a young adult, I realized and understood what she actually was seeking. It wasn't the talent and all those things, the giftings. It was just pure wisdom. And it makes me wonder today, do we do that? Not necessarily with the pastor, but anybody in your life. Do we seek the counsel and the wisdom? There are scriptures that say God will surround you with those people. I've counseled over the years many times couples seeking a divorce, unfortunately, right? Tragedy in their lives for whatever reason. And I would tell them this phrase, do not ever make a decision in your life when you're going through such a traumatic situation. Seek the wisdom and counsel of others. Friends, family, clergy, you know, whatever, you know, you would go seek because you're not in any kind of shape. Mentally, emotionally, but to seek the wisdom of others and let them guide you. Today, things are so big. There's life coaching. We've talked about that before, right? There's life coaching today that people are seeking the wisdom of somebody else. I'm a very big proponent of life coaching, and I've done that for years and years and years for people. I coach pastors, and it's great. Irons sharpen irons, right? The Bible says you get a lot of wisdom. I still do that today. I love to help younger pastors to go down the pathway and not make the same decisions or make the same mistakes that I probably have made. Pay attention to wisdom. Here's the second thing. Pay attention to the word economy instead of the world economy. Now, this strikes a chord with your pastor because this time of year, many people are paying attention to Republicans and Democrats. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. What I have seen and what I have read this past week really upsets me. With what they've done with the Olympics, if you've not read the news, and how they mocked the Last Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ and all these things. But here's the wisdom I give you this morning. Jesus is still in control. Jesus changes everything. And I want to give you a scripture to make you feel probably a little bit better about things like that as believers today. And it's in 1 John 4, 5 through 6. So this is why it doesn't just get your pastor so rattled. They are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. I rest on the word of God. My economy rests on the word of God. I don't rest on the world's economy. I believe that Jesus changes everything. I believe that Jesus is in control. I don't care what it looks like in the world. I don't care what's going on. I don't care because I know that Jesus sits on the throne of the economy, and that is good enough for me. He is in control. And that's where I place my faith, and that's where I place my attention. Now, do I discount all these other things that happen? I don't discount them, but they don't rattle me. I expect them, church, because the Bible says in the last days, right, things like this will happen. And I introduced to you last week the scripture that the pathway to the wide gate is very big and wide, right? And many pass through it, but the pathway to the narrow, few find their way. Why? Their attention has to be on the gate that they're seeking. Don't let the things of the world rattle you too much when you know that Jesus Christ is in control, right? Number three, and the last one, is pay attention to correction. The hardest one to pay attention to, church, is correction. Proverbs 19:20 says, pay attention to the advice and accept correction so that you can live sensibly, right? We're okay with accepting advice, but we struggle to accept and pay attention to correction. When it's the correction that probably helps us more than the pure advice. Where do we place our attention today, church? Where do we place our attention? You ask yourself today, where is my attention? And I will say that's your final destination. Anyone who refuses to hear and act on correction condemns themselves to a life of failure. Because you want people in your life to correct you. We need people in our lives to correct us. The Bible is full of scriptures that talk about accountability. When your attention diverts you from the path that God has you on, I want somebody in my life to say to me, Pastor, what are you paying attention to? What are you looking at? What are you doing? Why are you going down there? Whatever. And it's hard, church, to accept the correction. Because advice is advice. You can accept it or not, but correction kind of cuts us a little bit. Does it not? It kind of corrects us. It kind of cuts us. It makes us think. And then the emotions show up. And we start getting more emotional than accepting the correction. What would have happened in King Solomon's life if when God tried to correct him and say, don't do this, he didn't do the nevertheless, I did it anyways. What would the end of the story look like? The end destination look like? Because it didn't end well. Right? Church, pay attention to wisdom. Pay attention to the word economy over the world economy, and pay attention to someone that's going to give you some good, solid correction. Psalms 81, 8 through 9 says, listen, my people, while I, the Lord, correct you, Israel talking, if you would only pay attention to me, and don't worship those foreign gods or bow down to gods you know nothing about, if you would just pay attention. A lot of problems we have in our lives today is because we do not pay attention. I want to pray before we leave today, church. And I want to pray because I got a feeling that many of us at times just lose our way because we don't pay attention. The pathway that we're on sends us all these distractions in our pathway, but we take ourselves off the pathway because we get our attention focused somewhere else. I started wearing a wristband when I play sports, baseball, it says focus. I found myself on a baseball field. You find yourself on a baseball field losing focus and losing attention. I wonder where else it happens, right? So I started wearing this band, it says just focus. Just to remind me to stay, pay attention to what's going on. Stay focused. Church, stay focused. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control. I want to pray for you this morning, church. So if you do me a favor, just bow your hearts before we close. If that's you today and I'm speaking to you and you're just kind of getting off the pathway that God placed you on and your attention is getting diverted, I just want to pray for you. I, of course, won't call you out by name. I just want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I'm just feeling like my attention is going in a different direction. I see the hand up front. Is there anybody else? I see those hands. So many hands. Your attention's just getting you off the pathway that you're on. I see hands in the back. Anybody else? So many hands. Oh, so many hands. There are dozens of hands today. We're getting ourselves, our attention's not, our focus is just not where it needs to be. Your attention decide your final destination. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody else today that says, Pastor, I'm just getting my attention. It's all over the place. Is there anybody else? There are so many. If you're watching online today, you certainly can hit the button that says, pray for me today, Pastor. We will recognize that. Your service host certainly will pray with you. Is there anybody else? Thank you so much. Folks, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, first I want to say I am sorry. Lord God, at times in my life, my attention's been diverted. That's my conscious decision, Lord God, that I got my attention off the path that you placed me on. So, Father, right now, myself as pastor, and also for all the hands that were raised, many, Lord God, I pray and ask for forgiveness, and I pray that they will ask for forgiveness. Lord, I am sorry that my attention is taking me off the path that you have blessed me with. Lord God, I pray that you continue to reveal that pathway to them. And the intentions that you placed in their heart to reach their final destination and make sure they stay on the correct direction. And I pray, Lord God, that as they raise their hands today and they raise their hands online, I pray, Lord God, that you continue to bless them. Lord, let them bring their attention back to the path that you have established. And let their steps be continued to be ordered by heaven, as the psalmist writes. I pray, Lord God, that all of this gives you mighty praise. That you smile upon us because we recognize that we're going off the beaten path. And Lord God, our attentions got diverted. And Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you bring us back on that path on this day. And when we leave the worship center or turn off our devices today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you continue to speak to each and every one of us, especially those that raise their hand with boldness and say, Pastor, that's me. I raise my hand with them. Lord, bring us back on that path. Don't allow our attention to take us off what you've asked us to do. Whether it's an old path that you've got us on or now a new pathway that you've established for us, Lord God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that our actions today will give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, stand with me in celebration to keep us on the path that God selected for us. And as we leave the worship center today or shut off the device after spending some time with the Lord Jesus Christ here at Cross Point Church, I just think we need to give him praise. The song that the team taught you this morning on praise, let's just sing it and place our attention back on the path that God had blessed you with. Church, let's give him praise.